A frigid winter evening in Kent. Elderly antique dealer Kuldesh Sharma sits alone in his car, breath visible in the cold air. The headlights of an approaching vehicle pierce the darkness, followed by the sharp crack of gunfire. His life ends instantly, efficiently, the opening move in a deadly game. Meanwhile, in the cozy warmth of Cooper's Chase Retirement Village, the Thursday Murder Club gathers for their traditional Boxing Day lunch. Elizabeth, Joyce, Ron, Ibrahim, and newcomer Mervyn Collins share turkey sandwiches and mince pies, blissfully unaware that their peaceful community is about to be shattered. When Detective Chief Inspector Chris Hudson and PC Donna DeFratitis discover Kuldesh's body and his ransacked antique shop, it's clear this was no random killing. Despite Donna's warnings to keep their distance, Elizabeth begins methodically gathering information, convinced there's more to this murder than meets the eye. What starts as a simple investigation soon reveals a sophisticated drug operation. A shipment of high-grade heroin had passed through customs, ingeniously concealed within a terracotta box. Now, the box is missing, and drug kingpin Mitch Maxwell is desperate to find it, no matter the cost. What makes the Thursday Murder Club extraordinary isn't just their detective skills, it's their friendship. Joyce's diary entries reveal their relationships through Elizabeth's thoughtful gifts, weekly sing-alongs, and spirited debates about crime and tea. Their bond manifests in Joyce's scones, Ibrahim's weather updates, and Elizabeth's protective nature. When Elizabeth's husband, Stephen, experiences a moment of lucidity amid his dementia, his memory of Kuldesh as someone always up to something provides a crucial investigative breakthrough, showing how personal connections often reveal truths official investigations miss. The friends tackle Mervyn's romance scam with characteristic ingenuity. Ibrahim applying psychological expertise, while computer Bob contributes technical skills for responding to Tatiana's messages. These investigations show the Thursday Murder Club functioning as both detective agency and support network, solving crimes while helping members navigate personal challenges. As the murder investigation progresses, a poignant story about loss emerges through Elizabeth's experience with Stephen's dementia. Their relationship reveals the gradual erosion of their shared life, with Stephen, once a distinguished intelligence officer, now moving through their home like a stranger. In one heartbreaking incident, Elizabeth discovers their kitchen flooded from a forgotten tap. Yet amid this chaos, they share a rare moment of clarity when Stephen asks, "I'm slipping away, aren't I, my darling?" This personal narrative intersects with the case when Elizabeth notices patterns in Stephen's seemingly random utterances. She deduces that Kuldesh visited Stephen on his final day, and together they buried something crucial, the missing heroin that could solve the case. Ibrahim adds his own grief, sharing about Marius, his German lover killed in a cycling accident in 1963. "No one has ever reached for my hand under the table since," Ibrahim confesses. "I've never wanted them to." The Thursday Murder Club finds itself entangled in a dangerous plot involving missing heroin after Dominic Holt is murdered with a bullet to the forehead. Elizabeth arranges a summit at Cooper's Chase Restaurant, gathering drug smugglers Mitch Maxwell and Luca Butacci, antiques dealers Samantha Barnes and Garth, and archaeologist Nina Mishra. Under the guise of planning charity work, she mentions a searched council lockup, a calculated move to shake the tree and reveal who might kill next. Her strategy works, but with deadly consequences. Samantha is murdered, pushed down her staircase. Garth throws Luca off a parking garage, believing he killed Samantha. Mitch grows desperate under pressure from Afghan suppliers. When the group locates the heroin at the allotment, they use it as bait. Mitch and Garth soon arrive at Joyce's home armed, demanding the drugs. Elizabeth discovers the true prize isn't the heroin, but its container, a 6,000-year-old terracotta box with the Eye of the Devil carving. Garth reveals it's a looted artifact worth tens of millions, explaining the deadly pursuit of what appeared to be a small drug stash.
Amid the investigation, Elizabeth faces her hardest decision. In a warm room with Dvorak playing, she sits with Steven in his final moments after he's injected himself with a life-ending drug, his choice to escape dementia's grip. Steven had read Elizabeth a letter written to himself a year ago about his diagnosis, instructing, "Elizabeth is not your nurse, she is your lover," urging him to seek professional care. In their final conversation, Steven describes his thoughts circling like water down a drain. When asked about pain, he simply admits, "Pain I couldn't begin to tell you." As the drug takes effect, Steven asks Elizabeth to describe their first meeting. She recounts dropping her glove outside a bookshop for him to retrieve, the day her life began. Steven thanks her for letting him sleep as Elizabeth strokes his hair until his breathing stops. Later, Elizabeth reflects that while she doesn't regret helping Steven die with dignity, she feels she's paying penance not for his death, but for everything else in her career. The blood, the missions, waiting for the last devil to die.
The Thursday Murder Club springs traps for both criminals simultaneously. When Jeremy arrives to collect money from Mervyn, they convince him to take the heroin instead, forcing him to return the stolen $5,000 before Donna arrests him outside with the drugs. Elizabeth identifies Nina Mishra as Kuldesh's killer and lures her to a motorway service station with a fake offer from Garth to buy the ancient box for £5 million. There, Elizabeth, Joyce, and Bogdan record Nina's confession. Meanwhile, Mitch Maxwell searches desperately through Tunbridge Wells' tip in freezing rain, believing Joyce's lie about discarding the valuable box. As he climbs mountains of waste, Mitch suffers a fatal heart attack, dying alone atop a pile of rubbish, a fitting end for someone who exploited others. The novel reveals one final twist. Prison inmate Connie Johnson has been orchestrating murders through a hit woman named Caroline, feeling an unfamiliar emotion, not guilt about the killings, but about lying to Ibrahim and using him. After Stephen's death, the Thursday Murder Club members find their own paths to healing. Ron reconciles with Pauline at the funeral. Ibrahim shares painful memories with Computer Bob during nighttime walks. Bogdan breaks down in Donna's arms, grieving his actions and losses. Joyce prepares food for Elizabeth, small acts of love amid grief, while finding hope in early daffodils. The story examines end-of-life choices with warmth and wit. Stephen's decision to end his life before dementia claims his dignity is treated with respect, his final conversation with Elizabeth embodying a life well-lived. The novel shows that life's final chapter still holds mysteries to solve, connections to make, and joy to experience. The Thursday Murder Club demonstrates that aging can mean freedom, wisdom, and courage to face life's final mysteries with curiosity, perhaps with room for one more adventure before the final page turns.